Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
We return today to John chapter 8 and verse 44. Words of our Lord Jesus Christ to help us identify our Father, that is, our spiritual Father. These are very strong words, the kind of words that sometimes, if they were spoken by men or spoken by a man, would be considered a little bit overboard, perhaps a bit intemperate, too strong, too harsh, but after all, you'll get results like that from fallible human beings, but these words are spoken by the infallible God-man, spoken by the perfect and sinless Lord Jesus Christ, spoken by the one who is infinite love and filled with amazing compassion, and yet nevertheless spoke words like this because these are the very words of truth that some people need to hear to shake them out of their deception. And unless you are willing to deal with people truthfully, then you aren't really as compassionate as you think you are. The idea that compassion always means a soft, subtle approach that never risks offending certainly is not taught in the Bible, and certainly is not exemplified by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we want to continue where we left off last Sunday in examining this great text, this powerful text in John chapter 8, verse 44. Thank you for joining me on this Sunday, September 13. Thank you for remembering that we are dependent upon gifts from radio listeners just like you. Here's the text. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Strong, 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 harsh words. And who were these spoken to? Let's not forget the context. When Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil," who was he talking to? Well, he was talking to Jews. He was talking to religious Jews, because most of them were religious. He was talking to many who were religious leaders. But more than anything else, he was talking to those who rejected his words, the words of Christ, rejected his claim to being the Son of God, indeed God come in the flesh, his claim to being the long-promised Messiah. He is speaking, in some cases, to the very ones who are said earlier in the chapter to have believed in him. Verse 30, as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." And that opened up a line of teaching that culminated in the statement that I read a moment ago in verse 44. You are of your father the devil. You who say that you have believed in me. You who are religious and consider yourselves to be righteous and upright and exemplary for others to follow. You are of your father, the devil. Strong, strong, strong words, but the words of Jesus, the same one who said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." Was he being less than loving when he spoke these words? If it sounds like it, if these words sound unloving to your ears, then I would suggest that your ears have not been biblically trained. Your ears are reflecting improper teaching that is often embedded in the culture in which we live. But these are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is God, and God is love, and these words are not unloving, even though they are strong. Now, what did we learn about this text last Lord's Day? We noticed, number one, that it teaches the fact of different fatherhoods, two different fatherhoods. Some have God as their father, some have Satan as their father, and you, the ones that Jesus are speaking to here, are of your father, the devil. But beyond that, it tells us a great deal about the nature of the devil, which is important for us to understand. We need to understand our adversary, and that, in fact, is what he is. He is Satan. The word Satan means adversary. That means he is the enemy, the opponent of God, and any who would try to follow Christ, any who believe in Christ, any who try to incorporate the true teachings of Christ into their life, he is your adversary. He is against you. He is warring against you. He's doing everything he can to turn you away from the path of Christ and to trip you up in your Christian commitment. He is your enemy. You have an enemy, a fierce, strong, intelligent, determined enemy. And he is the devil. He is also a slanderer, diabolos, slanderer or accuser, false accuser, the accuser of the brethren. So this tells us something about the nature of our adversary, but also in describing his nature, it helps to describe the nature of those who have him as their father, because that's the point. Like father, like son. If you are a child of God, if God is your father, then you are going to reflect the nature of God. Imperfectly, of course, but you are going to reflect the nature of God, and you're going to grow in your impartation, imbibing of that nature as you grow in grace and knowledge. But if your father is the devil, then you're going to reflect his nature. And though you will not reflect it to the same degree as his consummate evil, any more than you're going to reflect the nature of God in its consummate glory, at least not, well, never really, certainly not in this world, but even in the world to come, you'll never reflect the glory of God to that extent. And likewise, you'll never reflect the evilness of the devil to the fullest extent, but understanding the nature, the attitudes, the actions of Satan will help you to know who your father is, and that's what this is all about. And so what is the nature of the devil? Well, there are three things that are mentioned here. First of all, a general term, sinful lusts. It goes on, it says, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do." Desires, plural, of your father you want to do. The King James Bible says, "the lusts of your father," and that's a perfectly legitimate translation, but the word lust means desire. We generally think of the word lust only in terms of sexual temptation, sexual enticement, sexual desires, but the word is more general than that. It means desires of any kind, and so in my translation, it's simply translated desire. And it has to do with sinful desires of all kinds. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Your heart is drawn in the direction of sin. Your desires flow in the direction of sin. What you are most interested in is sinful activities, and what you think about most often are sinful thoughts. And this is a reflection of your father, the devil, who has these sinful desires, many of them. I read something recently that I thought was rather insightful. Think about it for a moment. And I'm going to have to generalize because I'm just recalling what I read rather than quoting it or having it in front of me. But somebody, and I don't even remember who it was, said that one of the evidences of the fallenness of this world and of the sinful nature of man's heart is that most of our entertainments are in one way or another related to breaking the law of God. Think about that. Certainly, thou shalt not commit adultery. Sexual immorality is a big, 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 big part of an awful lot of entertainment. You know that. I don't have to dwell on that. I don't have to convince you that that is so. What else? Murder. You shall not commit murder. And what do so many of the entertainment programs, the television programs and movies center on? On murder and mayhem. Sometimes it gets so bad, it's just murder and mayhem going on continuously, almost more than one can bear. Why is that so entertaining? Why should that be entertaining? It's not really, it shouldn't be, and it's not really entertaining to a child of God who has different desires, but to this world, that is eminently entertaining. People feed on this. They feed on sexual immorality. They feed on murder. They feed on deceit. What do so many of the programs revolve around? Some kind of clever lying and sinful deception, which is applauded instead of being exposed and shamed because it is a violation of the law of God. You shall not bear false witness. It is instead glorified and applauded because somebody has been so clever as to be able to pull off this deception, and that becomes our entertainment. And on it goes. Materialism, covetousness, breaking the law of God, thou shalt not covet. But that becomes a center part of a great deal of what the entertainment is. Now, taking the name of the Lord in vain. I don't need to tell you that modern entertainment is filled with that. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And yet, cursing and blasphemy, we don't have, by the way, this is just an aside, we don't have cable television in our house for a couple of reasons. I get as much television as I want or need from Antenna TV, and it's surprising, and I know this varies from place to place, but it's surprising how many stations we can pull in with an antenna. But there's certainly a lot of things we don't get. But from time to time, I will be in another location, usually a hotel room or something like that, where they have cable. And I am truly, truly astounded, even though I've seen it before, heard it before, I'm truly astounded that in some programs, every other word is a blasphemous assault upon the name of God, or in some cases, if that's not what it is the most base sexual expressions that are used for just common language. On and on it goes. Now, I'll stop there. I could go on, but you get the idea. Entertainment for the world primarily is centered in sins against God, blatantly celebrating the violation of God's holy law. Well, what is that but what I'm seeing here in John 8:44? You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. Why do we find that entertaining? Why do we want that sort of thing to be our entertainment? Why do we delight in that? Why are we drawn in that? Because we are reflecting the nature of our father, the devil. Now, I know that's not true of all of you that I'm talking to today. I would hope and pray that it would actually be true of none of you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody I'm talking to today is a true child of God with God as your father? But this is a manifestation of the spiritual paternity of many people, and some, no doubt, that I'm talking to today. Sinful desires is the nature of the devil. Murder is specifically singled out, and lying is also singled out after this general term, the desires of your father you want to do. It goes on to say he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Murderer, a manslayer, a manslaughter from the beginning of the creation of man in the Garden of Eden. What did Satan do? He had murderous desires. He delighted in trying to kill the spiritual life, the spiritual relationship of Adam and Eve with God, their Creator, and he succeeded in doing that. It was only God's grace that came to the rescue and rescued them out of that sinful and fallen condition that meant their murder, their spiritual murder, their spiritual death. Satan delighted to kill them. And it manifested itself in their children, didn't it, when Cain murdered Abel in cold blood. You say, how could that possibly happen? At that early stage, at the very beginning, when no murder had ever occurred in this world before that, when Cain had never heard of anyone killing anybody else, had never witnessed anybody killing anyone else, had never seen a television program of anybody killing anybody else, where did he get this murderous desire, this murderous determination, and carried it out in such a vicious way? This cold-blooded murder, slaying his brother and letting his blood drain into the ground. Where did that come from? It came from his fallen, sinful nature, which is a reflection of his father, the devil. And Satan delights when he succeeds in causing death, whether spiritual or physical. He delights in death. Where does this determination to kill our unborn children come from? Oh, it's always wrapped up in terms of nobleness and honesty and compassion for the mother and so forth and so on. But don't be deceived. Where does this murderous intent come from? It comes from the devil. And those who pursue that path and defend it are simply manifesting that their father is the devil. And then beyond murder, there is lying. He is the consummate liar. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He does not stand in the truth. He does not stand in the realm of truth. He can't operate there. He cannot stay there. He has no desire to be in the place of truth. And he can't carry out his sinful designs by acting truthfully. He can only do it by deceiving, by lying. Truth exposes error, and truth drives the devil away. And so the best remedy for the devil is to soak your heart and mind in the truth, the absolute truth, the consummate truth, the Word of God. And then let that shine out from your life. God's Word, love it, embrace it, encourage it, proclaim it. The devil flees from that. He can't stand the light. He can't stand truth. And the only thing that will defeat the lies of Satan is the truth of God. Because the devil cannot stand or operate in the truth because he is void of truth. There's no truth in him. He is a liar. He's not a liar because he lies. He lies because he's a liar. That's his very nature. He speaks lies, and he propagates lies. He begets lies. He is the father of lies. Sometimes we look at the world around us, and particularly the world of politics and the world of news reporting, and our heads are just spinning because we hear so many things that are presented as the truth, and sometimes are even reinforced with studies and documents and statistics that are impressive and make it seem like this has to be the truth, and it turns out to be a bucket of lies. And in many cases, when the truth is known, and oftentimes it isn't known, a lot of times we don't get to the bottom of it, but many times when the truth becomes revealed, we find out that it was a deliberate deception. It wasn't just a mistake. It wasn't that the one who spoke this to us or spoke this on the air had been misled by somebody else, and therefore they innocently propagated this untruth. I'm sure in some cases that is what happens, but in so many cases, this was a deliberately, cleverly, carefully woven deception from someone who obviously delights in lies and loves to deceive. Well, where does that come from? And who is the source of that? Well, Jesus is telling us here. Satan is the father of lies, and those who are guilty of this kind of deliberate deception are simply manifesting who they belong to. They belong to Satan. Now, Satan's lies are so many, we couldn't even begin to examine them all. But I can tell you what some of them are, some of the most dangerous ones. He will lie to you regarding the Bible itself. And he does that to undermine the truth and the authority of God's Word. And he did that from the very beginning. In the garden, God told Adam and Eve, clearly, simply, lovingly, you can have anything you want except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Leave that one alone. Don't eat that. Telling them honestly and helpfully that in the day you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Well, there's fodder for Satan. He's the murderer. He loves death. And so what does he do? He comes to get them to disobey God. Well, how's he going to do it? He has to do it by deceiving them. And he starts by raising questions about God's Word. Has God really said this? Has God said? Are you sure that that's what God said? And on he goes from there. And so he is busy doing that even today, corrupting the Word of God. And he causes many people to doubt the Bible because, well, number one, they don't want to believe it. But number two, because that's what he does. He corrupts it. And so many of the foundational doctrines of God's Word, he spins lies about until people find them impossible to believe, such as, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That God is the creator. That the world that we live in was created by God. But he will deny that truth. He will replace that truth with a lie. He will ridicule that truth by propping up his lie with scientific respectability. He will compromise that truth by getting Christians to go along with it, to succumb to the idea of theistic evolution. Evolution is true, but God is the author of it, and so we still believe in God. We still believe that God created, but that's not what the Bible teaches. And on and on and on it goes. On and on and on it goes. When it comes to the area of sexual activity, he is the great liar. We know that God said that sex is for marriage and for marriage alone, but it's okay if we love each other, if we're committed to each other. It's better to live together to see if we're compatible than to get married and then find out we're not compatible. And on it goes. God, how can you say this is wrong? God created this desire, this appetite for sex. And on and on and on it goes. Now we've got people saying, God created me with a desire for unnatural sex, for sex with someone other than with the opposite sex. And on it goes. God made me this way. No, don't deceive yourself and don't lie about God. That's just not true. Satan will lie about salvation. He'll tell us that there are many ways to God when the Bible says there's only one. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He will tell us that it's your sincerity that counts instead of your faith in Jesus Christ. It's your good works that count. It's your religious connections that count. He'll deceive us into what it means to believe on Jesus. And so the link that manifests a person's spiritual connection to their father, the devil, is a desire to sin, the desires of your father you will do, a lying heart and tongue, self-deceit and deceiving others, and so on and so forth. Do you have a problem with lying? You can be religious and lie with ease, but you cannot be a true child of God and lie with ease. It's going to trouble your conscience. When a lie is preferred to the truth can no longer be received, and it soon ceases to be an option. And your response to truth reveals a true condition of your heart and the true spiritual paternity of your life, who is your Father. And this is why disobedience to God and His Word is so significant. It's not what you profess to believe. There were many, remember, verse 30, as he spoke these words, many believed in him, but Jesus didn't accept their definition of belief. He didn't accept their profession of faith. He was looking for the evidence of a changed heart. And when a person savingly believes, there is a change of heart. And when their heart, their desires, their vocabulary, their entertainment, their activity, all reflects the nature of Satan rather than that of God, what are they revealing? Exactly what Jesus said here. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Dear friend, be wise enough to examine your own heart and life in the light of these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.